Hello, Matthew Jasky here with keys2az.com, and today I have a very special guest for you. This is Ian Brannon. He is a top producer in the mortgage industry. For over 10 years, he has been helping individuals become successful homeowners by helping them find the perfect mortgage solution for their home needs. Now, what we're going to talk about today is how you can use prepayments with your mortgage to pay your mortgage off faster. And this doesn't necessarily mean increasing your monthly budget. We're going to tell you how to do that by keeping the same monthly budget. Many individuals are able to save tens of thousands of dollars doing this. Another thing we're going to talk about is how you can reduce your monthly payment amount without refinancing. So let's say you're paying $1,000 a month on your mortgage and you need to get that down to $800. We're going to tell you how to do that without refinancing. Now, it can still be advantageous to refinance. So we're going to talk to you about when, where, and how you should refinance to make sure you do it right and it's to your advantage. And lastly, we're going to talk about what everyone wants to learn about. That's what to do with your extra money when you become debt-free, when you've paid off all your credit cards, your student loans, your car payments, your home. What do you do with all the extra money? Without further ado, let's jump over to the podcast. But right before I do, there will be myself, a client I recently helped get a home, and Ian. We're going to walk through some specific examples on how to do just what I mentioned to you. Oh, and do not worry about taking notes here. Just listen along. I have created all the notes you'll need at keystoaz.com/podcast5, the number 5.
So the first thing I did was I have this this Excel spreadsheet that Matthew's going to link to his website.
Mm-hmm.
So that something that you can download. It's called an extra payment schedule. And what that basically shows is it shows you at what point in time your loan will be paid off if you make X amount of extra payments. What Matthew mentioned to me is, he has a mortgage payment of, let's say $1,000 or $1,025. He'll round it up to $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty common practice. A lot of people do that with credit cards or, any bills that they have. They like round numbers, they round up, and then that accelerates the payment.
And you mentioned to me it's very, very important that a person, when you make that extra payment, you tell the bank to apply it to principal.
Well, and that's why I wish I had brought my statement, because it had on it what you're paying today, and then it had all these extra blanks of categories that I could put extra payment into, and I don't know what it meant, so I wish I had brought it.
Yeah, the interest will allow you to make a later payment if you prepay interest, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
The reason why the bank designates where to apply that payment towards is because you can, and the bank prefers that you do it this way, you can apply an additional payment towards future payments. But why that benefits the bank and not you is they're just holding on to your money, and now they're making interest on your money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're applying it to next month's mortgage payment.
Okay.
So they're holding your payment for 30 days, and the bank's making interest off 30 days. and
interest off your interest.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And them making interest off $600 doesn't sound like a lot of interest, but they don't hold that money in one account that has Sally's name on it. They bundle that $600 with the other thousands of clients who are paying in advance.
I think there was a section that did say that you could put towards the principal, so that's what I would want to put it under.
That's exactly what you want to do.
Okay.
Because when you put it towards the principal, you're reducing your principal balance, thus paying less interest overall in the life of the loan. In your case, I brought up your specific loan transaction, and your mortgage payment. I know you have taxes and insurance as well, But just on your mortgage payment, your payment amount is $378.61.
If I was rounding up from what I'm paying right now, which includes the taxes and everything, it would be, I don't know what, like $60 extra a month or something like that?
Yeah, so right now, I believe your mortgage payment, including taxes and insurance...
$639.
Yep, $639. So if you were to pay $700, for instance, let's take a look at what that does. So that $60 a month extra that you would pay would allow you to have the mortgage paid off in 286 payments. That 286 is about just shy of 24 years. Let's talk about how much you're saving. You're saving 72 mortgage payments, okay? So your mortgage payment, we mentioned, is $378.61. So that's $27,260.
That's not pocket change. It's a little, it's a nice Civic or maybe even a Mustang or something like that.
Exactly.
Well, my goal would be 15 years. That's my hope, is to pay it off in 15 years.
Yeah. So you added in $60 or the mortgage insurance amount?
Just $60.
Oh, just the $60.
Just by rounding up. And, you know, some could argue part of the reason Sally's payment is so low is her rate is at 3.25%.
Which is amazing.
Rates currently are at 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So she got in at the perfect time. But going back to the example of saving $27,000...
Mm-hmm.
You know, some might argue, well, yes, you're saving $27,000, but it costs you $60 a month extra. But $60 a month extra, even over the 290 payments that she would make at $60 extra, that only comes to about $10,000.
So you're netting $17,000-something. Yeah. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah. So that's one example that I wanted to talk about on how this Excel program works. But you know, Sally mentioned she wanted to pay off the loan in 15 years, and this will help you determine what extra payment you'll need to make to achieve that. Typically, if you make double the payment of what you're currently making, you'll pay off a 30-year loan in 10 years. Matthew and I kind of did the math earlier today, and it came up to about a 10-year amortization. So if you were to pay off...
That would work pretty good, because I have 5 years of the extra insurance with the FHA stuff.
And that mortgage insurance premium is about $85 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. Let's assume right now that you're not paying anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
Is that safe to say?
Right now, yes.
Okay. So let's say the 5 years is up, and then you start paying, and then your mortgage insurance goes away, and then you start paying the $85 mortgage insurance towards your principal.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your payment the same. Let's see what that does to your amortization, how quickly you'll be able to pay off this loan.
And that's not a bad idea for a lot of people out there that have that.
There's a couple different strategies that I like to advise people on doing, and this is one of them. You know, once something gets less expensive for you, keep your budget the same, and that goes for property taxes, homeowners insurance. You know, if your policies go down, keep your payment where it used to be, and just apply everything else towards principal. $85 a month, you'll have this loan paid off in 284 payments. So let's go ahead and beef up this 85. And the reason why it didn't change too much is because the $60 a month was assuming you were paying $60 a month starting today.
Mm-hmm.
The 85 was assuming you were paying the 85 4 years from now, or 4.5 years from now.
If you're closer to the beginning of your amortization schedule or the beginning of your loan, it's going to have a bigger impact prepaying, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you'll have more payments going towards principal.
Mm-hmm.
The further you are in to your loan, let's say you're a year into it or three years into it, you're going to have to adjust where you start to the number of payment that you're currently at on the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see that when you look at looking at the spreadsheet. It's all the way on the left. It says payment number 1 mm-hmm. through 360 if it's a 30-year.
So mm-hmm. you have to know how many payments you've already made when Correct. You're looking at this?
Yep, exactly. Since you have a little bit more income coming in, let's beef up this this payment. And let's bring it to $145 a month and see where that puts you.
That's extra over the $378, is correct. That correct? Okay.
And the reason why I picked $145 a month is that's about how much is going to principal right now. Mm-hmm. So if we double the amount to principal, you're going to pay off the principal faster.
Right.
That number looks like 230 months. So 230 months is about 19 years. So we're getting closer to that 15-year right. mark that your goal is, but it's giving you a gauge as to where you're looking at.
Right.
Now, I'm guessing on this one, but I beefed it up to $200 a month, and we're going to come pretty close to 15 years. It'll be 195 months.
For which payment?
200 extra per month. So that's about 16 years and 3 months. But that'll give you a good benchmark to work with to know how much more money you'll need to apply towards the principal. So one of the questions that Matthew brought up, which a lot of mortgage companies advertise and they're advocates of, and it's very common for people to do this anyway, it's paying biweekly payments.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get a lot of advertisements mm-hmm. after you close.
I've gotten a lot.
You know, sign up with us for biweekly mm-hmm. payments.
Right.
And what that does is similar to people who are paid on a biweekly schedule, there are some months, like October was one of these months, where there's 3 paychecks in the month.
Well, you have 52 weeks in a year. You divide it by 2, that's 26 half payments.
Exactly.
So more than 12 if you divide it by 2 again.
Exactly.
It's 13.
Yep. So you're making 13 mortgage payments a year rather than 12. And one thing you have to be careful on doing is finding out if there's fees attached to doing so. Because a lot of those companies that are sending you mailers wanting you to sign up for the biweekly payments,
mm-hmm.
there's a $350 processing fee to get started.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $2.50 monthly transaction fee to be a part of that.
And so all they're doing is they're taking the check and delivering it? They're doing the automated portion?
Well, here's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why there's a fee associated with that is because when on the first of the month,
mm-hmm.
they send the full payment to the bank. So this is a processing company that does this. And what mm-hmm. they do is they hold on to your money.
And they collect interest as well.
They do the same thing, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But they're giving you the option of making half payments to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bank isn't going to accept a half payment. If mm-hmm. you didn't set up biweekly payments, and this is something that you did not negotiate mm-hmm. with your bank already, if on October 1st, you were to send half of your mortgage payment to the bank, they wouldn't do anything with it. They might even send it back to you. But these processing companies, you'll send them the half payment on the 1st. They'll send the full payment to the bank. That way your mortgage payment's made on time for that month. And then you'll send them another payment 2 weeks after that. And then another payment 2 weeks after that. So that's the purpose of that's the service that they're providing. And you end up paying an extra payment per year.
You get a better way to do it all around, though.
There is. You know, if you were just to take one mortgage payment, you know, let's say in your case you want to call it $640 a month, when realistically one mortgage payment is $380 a month,
mm-hmm.
Just principal and interest. But if you wanted to make one additional payment per year, and direct it towards your principal balance, you'd accomplish the same thing without having to pay a processing fee of $350 mm-hmm. and a $2.50 per transaction mm-hmm. fee. So you can really self-direct that. And that leads me to another example of what I like to tell clients to do, especially first-time home buyers. They're used to paying rent. They don't have any mortgage interest deductions on their taxes. So that interest that you pay, and I have to put a disclaimer in here because I'm not a CPA, so everyone needs to speak to their CPA about mortgage mm-hmm. interest and if they qualify for that deduction. But if they do, the interest deduction that most people receive on their tax return as a benefit to them is pretty close to what their mortgage payment is anyway. So you're saving money, you have free tax-free money that you're getting from Uncle Sam. Take that money and put it towards your principal balance.
Oh yeah, most people are paying less than they would on rent or were before,
right?
Why not compound it and take the tax benefit, if you get one, of course.
Exactly.
And apply it towards the mortgage.
That's exactly. Smart. Because if you didn't have a house, you don't mm-hmm. you don't have the mortgage interest rate or mortgage mm-hmm. interest deduction. And if that's money you never would have had.
Mm-hmm.
So if you never would have had it, you're not going to miss it.
Right.
So instead of not missing it, put it towards something that can pay off the house faster.
Right.
So that's something
else
to think
about. Well, I have two questions, I guess, about both of those things. Like the biweekly stuff, I considered it, but my concern was I didn't know if once you signed up for that, you were obligated to do a biweekly. And because of, you know, my income being an hourly employee, sometimes, I mean, like when we had Labor Day, I missed 3 days of work because of that holiday. So my next paycheck was a lot lower. You know, it's like being committed to do two payments a month could get me in trouble.
Absolutely.
If, you know, because usually I just kind of have to save up all month to make the mortgage payment and then figure out how to do all the other bills.
And you're absolutely right. When you sign up for that, it's typically auto withdrawal from your account. So it's not you sending in the check to them. Mm-hmm. It's them pulling from your
right.
account. So it is something, it is a very hard line commitment that you
right.
have to make if you want to go down that route, down that road. But as I mentioned, there's better
just
ways.
Just send it in on your own whenever you have it.
Bingo.
Right, okay.
And, you know, some people that are first-time homebuyers, you know, their income level isn't to the height of their career yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're starting out, they're buying their first house, and There are more tax deductions for people who don't make the higher end scale of income.
Mm-hmm.
So when they buy a house and they file their taxes the first year, they might get a considerable tax refund. You know, maybe a few thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And there in itself is another way to quickly reduce the principal balance mm-hmm. of your loan. Just apply your tax refund. You know, a lot of people, they don't, I don't know what most people do with their tax refund. I try and zero it out so that I'm not paying and I'm not getting
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who get the refund, you know, I don't think a lot of them know what they're going to get. You know, they kind of just wait for their CPA or H&R Block or who have you to do their taxes, and then they get a nice surprise and then go blow it on something. But if you were to blow it on paying down your house, you know, as in the first example, mm-hmm. you know, you're saving tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan.
Right. Well, part of my thought on paying down the house faster is feeling like I need to first pay down some of my credit card debt because it's at a higher percentage.
You're absolutely right.
And that's what I did the last year, was I took my whole entire tax return and put it towards credit card debt. And projecting if I were to get the same amount as last year, but I know I'll get more because of buying the house, I'll knock off half of my credit card debt this next year.
And that's certainly what you do want to do. Credit card debt, revolving debt, if it's not paid on a monthly basis in full, you're not using the credit card the way it's supposed to be mm-hmm. designed to use. And, you know, I'm not singling you out. I'm just educating everyone that Americans mm-hmm. tend to use revolving credit to live above their means. But this is how credit card companies make billions of dollars each year on interest. But if you can pay it off in a monthly basis, that's what you want to do. That's what credit cards are meant to
do. So a revolving debt, you mean
Of course, a revolving debt is something that where the balance can go up or down,
mm-hmm.
Based on how much you want to pay. So the, gotcha. the balance revolves each month.
Mm-hmm.
1 month it could be $600. The next month it could be zero. The mm-hmm. next month after that it could be maxed out at $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to pay off that $1,000. So there's a minimum payment tied to that account, but that minimum payment doesn't pay off that balance. If you make the minimum payment, your balance does not get paid off
mm-hmm.
within a certain term.
Makes sense, yeah.
So, which leads us to the next type of loan, which is an installment loan.
Mm-hmm.
You pay installments, monthly installments, and at a certain term, that debt is paid in full.
Like a car loan.
Car loan, okay. A mortgage.
A mortgage,
student
yeah.
loans.
So that brought me mm-hmm. to something. You probably, when you're prepaying something, you want to start at the highest interest rate.
Absolutely.
Probably and work your way down. If you have, like you said, a mm-hmm. credit card debt that's at 18%, you want to pay that off before prepaying your house probably.
Completely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have any bills where your interest rate is higher than what your mortgage interest rate is, do not pay principal
right.
reductions.
Mm-hmm. And that was my goal, was to pay off the credit card first and then put all that I paid towards the credit card straight to the mortgage at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one thing I do for my own personal budget and finance is I have an Excel spreadsheet with all my bills on them. And I itemize my bills based on the due date so that I don't miss any payments. But I also indicate on each bill what that interest rate is for the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And any leftover funds that I have to pay towards bills in my budget go towards that balance first.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever dollar amount, once that's paid off, guess what? Now I have more leftover money mm-hmm. because that bill's paid in full to put towards the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one. And then the next one. So eventually, I'm not paying any less per month, but my my balances owed are going down mm-hmm. very, very quickly because I'm focusing it towards the highest interest first.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point, Matt.
Well, you brought it up, actually. Paying your credit cards first, that's very smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking of credit cards and paying down...
What else did we talk about? I can't remember.
We talked about a modification. Because what happens...
That's pretty cool.
She received a big chunk of money. Let's call it $20,000. And she said, you know what? I liked what Ian had to say about paying off bills and being debt-free faster than, you know, the sooner I'm debt-free, then I can really start saving a lot more money than today, you know? So I want to put this all towards my existing credit cards and mm-hmm. then what's ever left over, I'm going to put it towards my mortgage. You can call your bank, and you have to be careful of who you call, though, because Matthew had a similar experience mm-hmm. where he was trying to make a large $20,000, I'm just using an example, principal reduction on his house. And the bank didn't know what he was talking about. Customer service mm-hmm. said it couldn't be done. And it absolutely can be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the person he was speaking to didn't know what department handled that.
Mm.
And it's the modification department. If you were to take $20,000 and put it towards, Sally, your balance right now without calling the modification department, what they're going to do, they'll keep your payments the same. Right? You're still going to make the same amount of payment per month, but what changes is how quickly it's paid off. You'll still have your same mortgage payments, but your loan will be paid off faster.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's okay with you, you can do that. But what some people want to do is they want to say, well, you know, I don't want a $660 mortgage payment. I want a $300 mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. So they call the modification department, and they say, I want to make a one-time principal reduction and have you reset my payment. They may charge a processing fee to do this, but it's possible to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they do is they modify the note, so the new note is $20,000 less, Same interest rate, same term, lower payment. So the one-time loan modification for paying down the principal balance, that might run you a processing fee of about $350.
Mm-hmm.
But it saves you the other option, which is refinancing. What a lot of people do is they say, well, you know, I want my payment to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I call my bank and they said the only way to drop my payment would be to refinance. And that's not true. But the reason why that's a better option for the bank is because the bank is making revenue
mm-hmm.
on that transaction. So most loan officers will tell you, you have to refinance. There's no other way to do it. And that's simply not true.
Mm-hmm.
But it may benefit you to refinance rather than doing the loan modification if your interest rate goes down.
Mm-hmm.
If rates are lower at the time where you're interested in putting the large principal reduction, my advice is to refinance because then you're going to be paying lower interest on the lifetime of the loan, and you might even consider dropping a term. Instead of doing going back to a 30-year loan,
mm-hmm.
maybe go down to
a
20
or
a 15
yeah.
or a 10. Because the lower you go down in term, the lower your interest rate is.
Mm-hmm.
The less interest rate, the lower your interest rate, the less interest you pay over the life of the loan,
mm-hmm.
which is the whole point of this discussion.
Yeah.
Paying less interest. And, that brings us to our last topic, when to refinance and when not to refinance.
Yeah.
That's always a big question. And I like to do a lot of research for clients that ask me, is it beneficial to refinance? I mean, if interest rates have dropped one whole percentage point, it's almost a no-brainer at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make sense for you to refinance. But one thing you have to be cognizant of when thinking about refinancing is what that refinance costs in fees. Are there closing costs involved? Are there title fees? Do I have to get an appraisal? All very important questions to get answered before diving into a refinance. Because your interest rate, let's say interest rates are 6% and they drop down to 5%. Well, it might be a no-brainer to a lot of people to refinance down to that 5%. But what if it costs you $5,000 in fees to do so? Are you going to come out of pocket with those $5,000? Or are you going to roll them back into your loan? What a lot of people do is they'll roll them back into their loan. And they'll say, okay, well, my payment's still going down. But the problem is your savings, your net savings, isn't as low as you think it is. So what my advice typically for clients is to pay as little expenses as possible. And I'm not saying out of pocket and roll them into your loan. I'm saying don't pay the fees. Lenders have the opportunity to slightly increase your interest rate to decrease your expenses, your direct cost. So in some cases, an appraisal is going to be required for the refinance. That's fair for the client to pay, and that's about $400. I would say don't pay any more than $500 for refinance. If it costs you more than $500 and you're not paying it out of pocket, it's probably not worth it to refinance unless you can recoup your cost within a few months. If your monthly savings takes, let's say the closing costs are $1,000, and your monthly savings is $50 a month, well, it's going to take you almost 2 years to recoup that savings or that cost that you had to put into the mortgage. That's still probably worth it, but any more than that,
mm-hmm.
you'd be better off taking a slightly higher interest rate to lower those fees. And people say, well, that's kind of, 6 to 1, half dozen the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still paying more interest. But here's where the concept gets interesting. If interest rates drop again,
mm-hmm.
they went from 6 to 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you paid $400 for that.
You're just going to pay again.
Exactly. If they go from 5 to 4,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna think, wow, I want to refinance again. But they don't take into consideration the several thousand dollars they just spent to get five. Mm-hmm.
And when you roll that into the interest rate, instead of tacking it on the loan or any of that, you get a better comparison for basis.
Bingo, because yeah. it's only based on the term.
Or that basis for comparison.
Basis for comparison.
Yeah.
When you build it into the rate, you're only paying that higher rate, and mm-hmm. a 0.25% difference in rate might be a difference of $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only paying $20 a month rather than $1,000 up front.
Yeah, what else is there?
Well, I think that actually covered all of our topics.
Yeah. Was that helpful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was. And paid off even faster, I guess.
And then when you reach that point where it is paid off, you'll still have taxes and insurance mm-hmm. To pay for.
Right.
But what I would do is I would open up a savings account, and I would put $840 a month into the savings account each month.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your taxes and insurance become due, one thing is you could pull from that account to pay for them. Because that's mm-hmm. essentially what it's for.
Right.
Because now, that mortgage payment that you're no longer paying, now you're setting yourself up for retirement or early mm-hmm. retirement.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll be able to do early retirement. I'm too old. But my goal is when my youngest graduates, that's because it's about 15 years when she'll graduate. Well, actually, it's less now. I keep forgetting she's gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to have the house paid off. And that way, if I wanted to move somewhere else, I could.
Yeah.
You know, because then or stay here if I wanted to or whatever. But, you know, yeah, maybe I could help them some with college or, you know. Start saving because I can't save anything now. It's just, you know, I do a budget mm-hmm. it all out and it all goes out.
Sure.
There's not any extra.
But I think we covered everything that we yeah. wanted to talk about. And
then
a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that after the mortgage is paid off, you just keep saving the money. I mean, you've got used to paying it. Why not put it in a, you know, bank account?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pay yourself.
Mm-hmm. Pay yourself, so.
or buy another house and rent out
yeah.
rent out your free and clear mm-hmm. house and start from scratch all over again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, your renter might be able to make that mortgage payment for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay.
Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you having me on today.
And oh yeah, thank you.
If anyone
thanks for the help.
If anyone has any financial questions, my contact information and your contact information is on your website.
Yeah.
And what's that website address again?
Keys2az.com. KEYSTOAZ.com.
Cool. Well, thanks
yeah.
again.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Now, if you or anybody you know is looking to buy a new home or refinance the home they have, make sure to share this with them. Again, you can send them to KEYSTOAZ.com/podcast5, the number 5. And also, if you go over there yourself, you'll find notes detailing how to do everything we discussed in the podcast, as well as an area where you can comment at the bottom of the page. Now, Ian and myself would love to hear what questions you have when it comes to financing a home and buying a home here in Arizona. So if you would jump over to that page, make sure to share it with your friends and share your thoughts with us. We'd love to have you. Thanks.